Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise because you are a good God. We thank you for the great and mighty love with which you have loved us. As we get into your word again today, we ask that our eyes of understanding is indeed enlightened. As we begin this teaching today, we ask that, Lord, you will open up our mind to the revelation truth that is in your word, that is in your plan and purpose for our lives, that will be built up by these words, that our lives will never remain the same, that these words will form the direction for our lives, that in this light we will see light, in your counsel we will see the counsel for our lives, in the name of Jesus. Faith is built, our courage is built, light is built in the heart of every participant, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. We're just going to take it one step at a time. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, where we picked the topic from. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Of course, Paul had started praying to the church in Ephesus. And he was praying for them that he was giving thanks to God, that God has blessed them with all spiritual blessings. He began to clarify the blessings, that they've been accepted in the beloved, we've been forgiven, we've been predestinated, and all. In verse 9, he said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, right? So it was God that proposed this good pleasure in himself in that dispensation of the fullness of times. So again, there's a fullness of time. We're going to talk about this later on. There's a fullness of time, all right, for God's plan, for God's counsel to be fulfilled and to be manifested in our midst, together in one. All things in Christ, both in heaven and which on earth in him. In verse 11, it says we've obtained an inheritance and we've been predestined according to the purpose of him that works all things according to the counsel of his will. Verse 12, that we who first trusted, now the we who, that would be the Jews, okay? That would be the Jews who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. Now look at it in verse 13. Verse 13 is where we're going really. It says, in whom we trusted. In Christ, in whom we trusted, you also trusted. You see, it says, after we have heard the gospel of your salvation. You see the point? All right. It says, in whom also, having believed, he said, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. All right. So he said that he says, in whom we trusted after we've heard the gospel of your salvation. Right? So it means that there's the gospel of our salvation. There's let's break it down. Gospel is a news, is an information, is a news. Okay, so he's saying that we had the gospel of salvation. So there is a gospel, okay, and the gospel could be about anything, but we are narrowing it down now. We want to, in this study, all right, which I think will be a long one, or maybe we'll break it into part one, part two, depending, all right, it's a gospel about salvation. We just want to investigate that salvation that we have. It's very timely in these days. There was a debate on social media some times ago, about whether eternal life, whether salvation is eternal or not, and all of those. It's just coming in timely, handy. All right, we're going to be answering so many questions, looking at different things about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly here, the gospel of our salvation. The gospel of our salvation. Now, before we proceed, all right, what about this gospel of salvation? Okay, let's see something. Let's begin to take it one step at a time. Let's see what Peter, Let's start from Peter, okay? Because those will be the closest to Jesus Christ. We are coming back to Paul, all right? It was Paul that wrote that. But before we do that, let's see what Paul says. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start from verse 15. Let's start from verse 15. So, I want us to listen to something very carefully, all right? Peter was writing here. He says, and consider, or an account, okay? And consider, or count, that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Before now, Peter had written that God does not want anyone to perish. Let's read that in verse 9. Let's look at that in verse 9. Look at it. He says, look at it in verse 9, because it will give... Then we're going to read verse 9 to give the context, right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. See, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Now, don't forget, he's going to say you should count, you should consider, you should account later on, right? As some count slackness, he says, but is long-suffering towards us, meaning God is long-suffering, God is patient, all right? And, has some slowness towards us, delaying towards us, all right? Why? He says, not willing that any should perish, but to come to repentance, meaning to change their mind. That's what he said. So if you put that in context, that the Lord is not slow, as some think, oh, the Lord is slow. No, all right? But what is patient, is delaying, is long-suffering, all right, towards us, all right, because he doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants everyone to change his mind. Verse 10 says, the day of the Lord, you know, will come like a thief in the night, and all of those. Now, look at it in verse 15. Let's focus in verse 15 now, all right? So, he now says that, but instead, we should count. We should, don't forget, it says some count God as being slow, but he's saying that here in verse 15, pay attention, he says that we should count that the long suffering, the delay, the patience of God, all right, towards us is salvation. Did you see? Okay, what are we studying today? We are looking at the gospel of our salvation, all right? Now, and we're starting by investigating or considering what Paul said about salvation. He's saying here that the fact that today, all right, Jesus had not returned today, the fact that he's still not returned today, he's saying that it is because what is in his mind is salvation. We read earlier, he doesn't want anybody to perish, okay? But he wants everyone to repent, and his long-suffering towards us is salvation. Very important that we get that. Now, let's read on. So, it says, so also our beloved brother Paul. So, we see here Peter referring to brother Paul, right? So also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, as written to you. So what Peter was alluding to here is that Jesus's long suffering, his delay, his patience, is because of salvation. In fact, that delay, that long suffering in itself, he calls it salvation. He will not say just like, or so also, or accordingly, brother Paul has written also to you. Let's read it. We're going somewhere with this, okay, as we introduce this topic today, all right? He says, just also as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you. So the people that Paul was writing to here had been written to before now by Brother Paul. Correct? Yeah. We're just pulling out some content there. Now, then Peter, he just called Peter agreed that God gave Paul some wisdom. And that wisdom, he calls it salvation. Right? Now, we're going to pull all of this together. So, where we're reading, sir, it's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He said, we should account. Don't consider it like other people, the way they consider things. Jesus, this is your Jesus, with this tech, with AI, with everything. There's no Jesus. Say, don't consider things like that. But you and I should consider that long suffering is salvation. Why? He says, even so, our beloved brother Paul. So he called brother Paul. He called Paul a brother. Also, according to the wisdom given to him, had written unto you. So we said a couple of things there. God gave Peter wisdom. Sorry. God gave Paul wisdom. And that wisdom is what? Is pertaining to salvation. Correct? Now, so it tells me that Peter and Paul, they wrote to the same audience. Correct? Because he said, Paul had written to you before. All right? So it's the same person that Peter and Paul, they were writing to here. But it's okay. It's all right. So he said, he gave them wisdom. Now, verse 16. Pay attention. Look at it. As also in all of his epistles. Okay. So God gave Peter wisdom. We've studied so far that this wisdom is pertaining to salvation. This wisdom is pertaining to the long suffering of God, to the salvation of Jesus, to the salvation of God. All right. And Paul wrote to them based on the wisdom that God gave him. But then we are moving forward now in verse 16. He says that this is what Paul wrote in all of his letters. Okay? All of Paul's letters, we are reading. He says, let's read that again. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them. Now, before we move on. So it means that Peter read all of Paul's epistles. So if I say in all of your letters, it means I've read all your letters. Right? So there's no big man of God here. Because we're going to study Peter to know that Peter is not a small Peter. This is the Peter. Peter was the first man to preach the gospel after Jesus left on the day of Pentecost. All right, he saw miracles. He walked. That's why it gave me an idea that those men, they were very humble. All right, because they walked with the Lord Jesus. All right, but here he's saying that it means that Peter must have sat down to read all of that letter, all of Paul's epistles, for him to be able to conclude, to decide, to summarize everything together as Brother Paul's wisdom. In salvation, that God gave him that wisdom. Very important. All right. Now, look at it. Where we are going particularly is still in that verse 16. I'll read again from the beginning. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them, that's in the letter, of these things in which are some things hard to understand. All right, that's the point I want to get to there. All right, he says, Paul, in all of his epistles that contains the wisdom of God unto salvation that he wrote to you about the long suffering of God, he says, those things they are hard to understand. All right, so the point I want to get at is the topic of salvation, all right, is hard to understand. Why? Because it is the manifold wisdom of God. Now, notice he didn't say it is impossible to understand, but it is hard to put it together. It may not make sense to us, but we need to submit ourselves to the wisdom of God, all right, and be able to pick wisdom, pick understanding, pick knowledge from the salvation that is in God. From the salvation that is in God. So it tells us, therefore, if we're going to know more about the salvation that Jesus gave, the wisdom that Jesus gave us in his salvation, we need to read a lot of Brother Paul's letter. A lot of Apostle Paul's letter. Very instructive. Now, see what it says here. One more thing that I want to say here, all right, in that verse, because that verse 16 is very loaded with so many truths that I would love us to clarify. It says some things that are hard to understand. I want to see difficult to understand. Okay. Now it says which untaught, the last bit there, it says which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Now let's put that together. It says untaught and unstable people or ignorant people, they twist it. Now, do we still have that today? Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. The issue of salvation is a big debate for which I don't like to participate in those debates. The issue with God's word is a lot of debate, all right, that I try to just put myself, all right. It says some people that, are, you know, look at those, the qualifications. It says these ones, they are unlearned, they are unstable, they are ignorant. It says they twist it to their destruction, the way they've twisted other scriptures. Now, let's just quickly leave that and make this point. So it means, therefore, that Peter, Apostle Peter, all right, agreed or called or referred to Paul's letters as scriptures. Indirectly, but directly. Because he said, Paul wrote some things about salvation that is difficult to understand. All right, that is hard to understand. He says, some people, they twist it the way they've twisted other scripture. For you to say other, it means that this one that they are twisting, all right, you are comparing it with scripture. So the epistles or the letter of Paul qualifies as scripture, as Bible. All right, that's where I'm going with that. All right, so you're going to be seeing a lot in Paul's epistles that is very, very important and that we must learn. I've said that this topic is may be hard. Now, let me tell you something, sir. Peter, because the two P's, they are always a tongue twister. If Peter agreed, all right, that the topic of salvation is hard, do you think he was joking? No, he's not. All right? He wasn't joking. All right? So is a topic that we must be careful. We will take it one step at a time. So in all his epistles, Paul wrote about the salvation. Okay, about salvation. I wrote here, I said Peter was an apostle, the first to preach about the gospel. He walked with Jesus Christ. All right. And look at how he puts it together. Don't forget, Peter here had written 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Now, all that I'm trying to get here is that the caliber of the man commenting that salvation is hard to understand. That's the point I want us to see here. All right. So he's saying that this is Peter, not just a quote unquote junior brother in church. This is the Peter of saying that it is difficult to understand. And not just that, he has written 1 Peter. All right. He's written 2 Peter. And this bit here will be the final part of his letter, the concluding stage, because that's verse 15 there, and his letter will end in verse 18. Yeah, verse 18. And yet he's telling us that some things that Brother Paul wrote in his letter to you is hard to understand. We must put that in mind as we study the word of God. Okay, so if Peter says it is hard to understand, then you and I must take care to understand the salvation of God. If Apostle Peter said it is difficult to understand, It means that the gospel of our salvation, therefore, that Brother Paul wrote, okay, we must take care, we must take diligence to understand this letter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's read some things. First Timothy, we're going to see some things today, just introducing the topic to us today. First Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4 and 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. I read quickly. Who will, that's God, that's Peter, Paul here talking about God, okay? The who there is, the pronoun who there is God. So God, so we can replace that who. It says God will, or God wants, or God desires, all right, for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the intention of God. That's the, so if there's one thing we can ask God today, he desires, he wants everyone to be saved. Everyone. And not just that, not just saved, he wants them to be saved and to come to the knowledge. He wants everyone, he desires for all men and women, all right, everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What are we talking about today? We're just looking at that topic, salvation, all right? We're looking at that topic, salvation. Praise God. And some things that the Bible writers said about it. Let's go back to that Second Peter. Let's go back to Second Peter. Sorry. Yeah, we just left there. 2 Peter chapter, we've read verse 16, right? That was where he said it was difficult, hard to understand. Some unlearned people, they wrestle with it, with other scriptures to their own destruction. Let's just skip to verse 18, because verse is just to save time. I've got some stuff that I still want to cover quickly today. He says, but, now look at us, see what he says to us. He said, but you, so he's telling us, he says, but you and I, we should what? We should grow in grace. We should grow in grace. And we've clarified, right? And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He said we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've clarified that that word and there is not two, it's not a conjunction like we use it in the English language. What it's saying there, let's put it very quickly so that we can move forward, is that grow in grace, that is, the word and there, meaning that you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? So the responsibility is on us to grow in grace. Now, so what it means for someone to be growing in grace is for someone to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, let's put it better. I'm going to read some stuff here. To grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, our Savior. So it means that the knowledge that we must grow in about God is that God is our Savior. I don't know if I'm putting that very well. All right. The knowledge to grow in, all right, is the knowledge of God, our Savior. Not necessarily God, our, you know, God, our Avenger, or God, the man of battle. No. He's saying that you must grow to see God, all right, in the light of his salvation. All right. In the light of his salvation. All right. So don't bother. Don't worry. So we grow in the knowledge of his salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read some stuff here. All right. I said, we are saved once and for, we are saved once and for all. Okay. We are saved once and for all, but to gather the understanding of the salvation that we have received, it will take a lifetime. I'm pausing deliberately. We are saved once. Once the man believes, all right, he's saved. But, ma, to come to that understanding, you know, Peter is telling us here that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our God and Savior. We said the light in which God wants to be known is as a Savior. Right? And we are not backtracking, just saying so many things today to say that, hey, we, every one of us, the moment we believe, and I think this is what people must know. This is what I want our friends to know. Yeah, well, but you say he's a believer, but he's saved. The day he confesses Jesus, he's saved. But then, like all of us now, we are trying to grasp that understanding of what happened to you. let me make this joke. In secondary school, where they give you a dead slap, whoa, you receive that slap once, but for some 50 seconds, you don't. you're trying to understand what just happened. What happened? I won't forget this day. This is another story. It was in Oworo. Oworo. I was coming from. Ogba. My phone was in my pocket. I just grabbed like that. I thought it was light. My phone is gone. They've taken the phone. They took the phone till tomorrow. A Nokia phone like that. All right? It took me some 30 seconds to understand what has happened. What happened? What happened? Did I leave it? Did I not? You know? Exactly. The point I'm trying to say is that the believer is saved once. But man, it will take us a lifetime, all right, to understand what has happened to us. And that's what we do in church. Each time we come, the name of Jesus, we are the believer's authority, the believer's worship. That's what we are trying to understand, even with salvation, what that we are studying now, to understand what has become of the believer. So that's why he told us that we should grow in the knowledge of that God. And in growing in his knowledge, we are growing in him, looking at him as the God of salvation. I think I've told us here that the Bible particulars itself about one topic. That there's one topic that you can teach from the Bible that you will not hang. Now, Bible touches on things, on leadership, David's style, Joseph, and all of those, you know, some marriage tips here and there, some money-making things, all right? But honestly, you can't, some farming skills, but you can't follow those things today. The topic, the subject that the Bible treats from zero, from beginning to the end, and there won't be any Kelek, is that topic, salvation. All right? And therefore, we must grow in that understanding. We must grow in that understanding. See what Paul said. He says, God wants every man to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of the truth is the knowledge of God's salvation. And that's why we're picking this study. All right? That's why we're picking on this study today. Amen. So what happened to us is just once, all right? And the understanding of that salvation is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. I wrote here, I said many, many saints, many believers stops at getting saved. And we should not be like that. Many believers stopped at, you know, I believe in Jesus, and they just stop like that. No, all right? We have been told Jesus... the plan and the will of God is for everyone to be saved, no doubt, and to come to the knowledge. To come, so it means, now, who will come to that knowledge? The man, the believer. All right? So, and like we all know, we don't just come to the knowledge, or to any knowledge. We have to work at it. Effort is required, commitment is required, you know, work is required. Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved. So it is work. It is being deliberate. It is being intentional to grow in the understanding of what has happened to us. Otherwise, we just stay in that level where the man is saved and he does not even know his left from his right. We don't want to be like that, all right? And to let us know that it is a lifelong journey. And don't forget, we've told us earlier that it is hard to understand. So patience is required. Please let me say to your friend left and right, patience is required when it comes to the subject of salvation. Hallelujah. Now, let's move forward again. Something that I still want to touch on there before I go. God can be known in so many things, or for so many things. But what, let me say that better. God is better known. God is definitely known in his clearest form as a savior. You get my point? All right? The clearest understanding, the definite, the purest form of understanding that we must know about what God is up to, or what God is doing, or what God, what God's plan is that is the God of salvation. You know, see, now, of course, we've read two scriptures now. It says that the will of God, the desire of God is for every man to be saved. Paul said that we should grow in that knowledge of God, not our money maker, not which song, Iron Breaker, or what do they sing now? All right. No, it is the God of, it says God, our Savior. God, our Savior. Hallelujah. And that's the knowledge we must grow in. Praise God. Amen. Let's see some more. I wrote some more things here. Again, when it comes to this topic of salvation, all right, because we must grow in that knowledge of salvation, one of the greatest challenge in understanding the subject of salvation is that we often approach salvation from the perspective of the saved. And that's what is causing all of these debates. All right? I often look at Bemi to understand salvation. Bemi is saved. Okay, let's know. That's a wrong metrics. All right? We don't look at the saved to understand salvation. No, the correct perspective to look for in understanding the subject salvation is the Savior. Does that make sense? All right. So because now I'm just telling us, if you notice what we've written here, we're going to be looking at the Savior is salvation and the saved. That's the rider, all right, in this study, the gospel of our salvation. We're just going to be exploring the Savior. Who is this Savior? What's his nature? What does he want? I'm going to be looking at that. Then also, we are going to look at what did he give? What's the nature of what he gave? So we know, all right, whether it can be lost, whether it is temporary, whether what did he say about the gift that he gave? That's it. All right. So I won't look at salvation from the perspective of the recipient. No, it is the perspective of the giver of salvation to understand what salvation is. Hallelujah. Okay. So as one of the greatest challenges in understanding this topic of salvation is that we often approach salvation from the perspective of the saved. However, the truest, fullest understanding about salvation is found from the perspective of God, our Savior. The fullest understanding of salvation is found from the perspective of our Savior. So you say, oh, but so you mean this brother, he goes to church, but see what he's saying, see what he's doing. Well, you are looking at that salvation from his perspective of the recipient. All right? That is a wrong perspective to judge salvation. All right? We're going to be in this study, not today, as we proceed. We're going to see a little bit today. What's the nature of the giver? What's the characteristics of his giver? Can we see the other things he has done? How does he do the things he has done? From that perspective, it can help us to know. You know, Bible tells us, just to quickly jump forward a little bit and come back, because we're going to look at it. It says the gift and the calling of God. It says they are without repentance. Have you seen that? The gifts and the calling of God. And we know salvation is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, 8. It says we have been saved, not of works. It is a gift. So salvation is a gift. Okay, and we are reading the gifts of God, the gifts and the calling of God. It says God doesn't change his mind once he has given it. It's important to have that. All right. It is from that end that we look at what God does, what he gives. The same way he gave his spirit. We've studied it. The Bible says that spirit will abide with you forever. And it doesn't leave. Let's get into this, which is some important stuff today about this topic of salvation. But let me do some things before we look at it. Before he says, so we must look at it from the perspective of the Savior. All right. He is the one who designed and accomplished salvation. You know, we didn't participate. We just got there and we are recipients of that what of salvation. We are recipients. We didn't contribute nada. Zilch. Nothing. All right. It was God that proposed it. Bible says it was for his good pleasure, according to his eternal purpose. All right. And it was the one that even accomplished it. It was the one that rose Jesus from the dead. All right. And sat him at his right hand. All right. So let me just read some bit here. This God, therefore, this God, our Savior, is perfectly revealed. Perfectly revealed in Christ Jesus. All right. I mean, we've studied that a lot. So don't say, oh, the God of... No, no, no. All right. See, to understand God, to know who God is, we will see him in his Son, Christ Jesus. God, who at sundry times and in sundry ways or manners spoke to our fathers through the prophets. He said he has in this day spoken to us in his Son. He said that Son is the express image, the brightest representation of who God is. All right. So we know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Clearest form. All right. So, and in seeing God in his Son, we are seeing God who is a Savior. We are seeing God who saves, who wills that everyone be saved, who doesn't want anybody to perish. That's his agenda. If you put God together, all right, he's a Savior. Is a Savior. We're going to be looking at, you know, the definition of salvation, sozo, deliverance, from what we're going to look at that as we progress. But we're just getting to know, you know, in the about the gospel of our salvation, all right, to know exactly what are we looking at. So, this God is revealed perfectly in his Son, Jesus Christ, all right, and he is the one that designed salvation, and it is in him, it is in Christ Jesus, that we can understand the nature of salvation. It is in Christ Jesus that the nature of salvation is most clearly seen. Let's just read two scriptures. We're going to read a lot of scriptures about salvation, but let's just read two scriptures as we progress today. Then we're going to answer some questions before we ask, you know, maybe anybody that has questions, we can just take it today as we introduce this topic, the gospel of our salvation. John chapter 10. If you're there, please help me read verse 28. John chapter 10. We are trying just quickly to look at the nature of salvation. Okay, now let's examine that carefully. All right, so that's Jesus talking there. Jesus said, because now don't forget what we've said, to understand salvation, I won't look at you, you won't look at me. All right, we look at the person who gave it, who designed it. You look at the architect, you look at the plan of the giver, who is the Savior. We've emphasized that, all right? So we're now talking, see what that person said about what he gives. John chapter 10, verse 28. Please, can you read it slowly again? One more time, sorry. So let me pause you a bit. Who gives this eternal life? Jesus. We did not. It says, and I give them eternal life. What's eternal? It's only when it comes to Bible matters that eternal is not eternal. Different from everlasting. In my secondary school, my mom bought me an Everlasting shoe. You know those Everlasting shoes? but you will use it, you will kick football, the soul will just stay like that because it's everlasting. All right? Now, let's not joke. He says, and I give to them, Kofi, please read, I give to them what? Eternal life. Now, look at what that eternal life, the resultant effect of cooking a carrot is that it changes the nature of that carrot. It becomes soft, right? The effect of putting a tea bag in hot water is that it changes the nature of the water. Something happens. All right? Now look at the resultant effect of the eternal life that God gives. Because we need to be very objective. Now, Kofi, please read again. I give them eternal life. So what happens because God gives eternal life? Okay, look at that. He says, they shall never perish. Never, he said. Very, very, no ambiguity. No condition attached. All right? That is the nature of what God gives. It's eternal in its nature. It's everlasting in its nature. The one who has received eternal life, Bible says, he never perishes. And not just that, there's a bit there that I want us to read, look at what it says, and what? And neither shall any man, now, if you have a good Bible, that man or one should be in italics. If it's not in italics, you throw that Bible away and get a good one. How many of us you have one in italics? Or any? It's not. NKJV, if you have it as italics, who has it as italics? It's not italicized in that. It should be. It should be. One second. John chapter 10.
Yeah, only man.
Yeah, man. Man is in italics, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, it's KJV. This is what I'm saying. Can you see that man is in italics?
Yeah, this is
KJV. Okay, so you need to don't throw your phone away. I'm joking. See what I'm saying? Can you see the man?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying, sir? Can you see the point I'm trying to say?
No.
All right. That man. So what he saying? Neither shall. So it's not just man. That's the point. It's okay to put man. They say neither shall any. Any, that's what it means. Any, think of anything. Neither shall any. So that's the nature of what the Savior gives. All right? Now, and it says, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. What does that suggest? Help me. What does that suggest? When I say that I'm holding on to your phone and it will not perish, neither shall any pluck this phone out of my hand. What does that suggest? Sorry? It's with me. Ha, I like that. Salvation is with me. Now, it's with the giver, right? Now, does that not suggest to us that we are not the one holding on to that salvation? The giver is the one holding on to salvation. Is that not what? Is it because he says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. All right? So that's the nature. So that's the perspective from which to understand salvation from. Hallelujah. Again, one of the things we are going to ask ourselves is that if I see Browale, for example, you'll be surprised with this illustration. As when I say, Browale, please, I'm trying to be, I will even add, please, do not beat Isaac with iron rod again.
Is that an illustration?
Of course. The question will be, no, here now, whoever is taking it out of court, he must hear it. That's what people do. We just take that bit and don't take this bit. The question will be, have you ever seen that happen before? Mm-hmm. When did that happen? That's what people do with God many times. All right? Because they, God can take it. Have you ever seen where God took? People just read their mindset. That's just the point I'm trying to say there. Okay? It does. He's a very, he's a good parent. I know him very well. It's just an illustration. It's an illustration. Oh. All right? Because the question is like, have you seen that happen before? So the reason we need to understand the nature of the giver, the one who gives salvation, to understand the quality, the nature of what he gives. Hallelujah. And the reason we must grow in that knowledge as well. All right. That's just what we're going to look at that in a more detail. All right. In a more detail. So let's quickly go touch on this. So the right order, the right way to understand salvation, please pay attention. Don't forget, he told us to grow in the knowledge of our God, our Savior. So the right order is to first understand God, the Savior. The right order to understand what has happened to you and I, sir. You know, at times, you know, when I start, thank God for good pastors. Like I said, I was taught. I struggled too with it, that the pastor said, okay, there is what is bad. I said it on Sunday. There is what is good. There is what the Bible says. Don't use what is good to judge what the Bible teaches. All right? Okay, that's fine. So, the right order is to understand God, not from common sense or from experience or what is good, what common opinion, what is good. Ah, God is good. He can give you jollof rice and chicken and all of it. It's just nice. No. All right? God can do all of this, no doubt, but we must understand God from the lenses of his word, from the lenses of his word, all right? So the first order in understanding salvation, all right, is for us to understand God, the Savior himself. And we're going to be spending a lot of time trying to understand this God. See what he said. See his antecedents. Then we now begin. We now start tracing what did he give. We see examples of how he gave. All right. Then we bring it back into salvation. Let me just read my thought here. I said the right order is for us to understand God the Savior. From there, we can understand his salvation. We're going to, don't forget, the study is exploring the Savior, his salvation, because he gave his salvation and the saved. All right, so we will understand God first of all. From there, we will understand his salvation, and there we will understand the characteristics of the salvation that he provides. It is only then that we can truly understand the identity of and the nature of the one who is saved. Very important, very important. Now, all that I'm trying to do today is for us to appreciate the knowledge we are about to study. Because it is in understanding this that we can say that we are growing spiritually. We need to understand God and what he gives and what he gives. Amen. Now, let's just quickly do some study, quick study. What is the will of God for humanity? What's the will of God for humanity? We've studied it. I want us to look at it again. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's run there. What is the will? We're just going to answer some questions before we go today. What is the will of God for humanity? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, verse 4, can someone please just help us read? Let's start from verse 3 to 5. Thank you. So see the light in which they are painting God again now, in the sight of God, our Savior. Okay, read on, sir. Verse 4.
Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of God?
So simply put, what's the desire of God?
That all men be saved.
Some people to be saved.
All men.
Maybe some women to be saved. All men to be saved. That's the will of God. We read it in 2 Peter as well, that is not wanting for any to perish. All right? So salvation is good and acceptable to God. He will have all men to be saved. All right? Jesus gave himself for the ransom of all of us. All right? And he's not willing for anyone to be destroyed or to perish. Very important. Now, let's answer another question. Who can be saved? Who can be saved?
Any.
Anybody. John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read John 3, 16. I mean, don't forget, we are looking at what the Bible teaches about salvation. All right? Who can be saved? Who? John 3, 16. John 3, 16. It's a very popular scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That what? That whosoever believes. So whosoever can be saved. Anybody. Any man. Any woman. Any man. All right? There's a clip. I'll find that clip. I'll put it again. Anybody. Anywhere. Of all tongues, of all tribes, of all, who will ever believe in Jesus? It becomes, I'll find that and put it there. All right? It says, he has eternal life and will never perish. Anybody can be saved. Whosoever believes shall be saved. Whosoever is God's plan. Whosoever. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 16. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Let's read it again. Don't forget the question we are asking. Who can be saved? Verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world, all right, and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. It says, go and preach the gospel to everyone. All right, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, preach to every nation, everyone, the people all over the earth. Whosoever shall call unto Jesus shall be saved. Very, very important that we have that understanding. Now, let's just answer just this last question, then we can talk about some bits before we go today. Who is not saved today? Anyone has not believed is not saved today. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Who is not saved today? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start from verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, KJV pushes that to those who are lost. That's a wrong interpretation because they are not lost yet. They're just in the process of being lost. All right? So it's not that, oh, because a sinner yesterday can become saved today. So it's not lost like it's lost forever. All right? No. All right? So KJV puts it better. It says they are perishing. All right? You say why? Because the minds, it says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. Why? Because they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. So who is not saved today? The one that is not saved today is the one that has not believed in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, being lost there does not refer to their end point, but to their present state. To their present state. And you know what? All of us were at that point at a time, but until we came to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right? So people are not saved because they have not believed the gospel. They are not saved because they've not believed the gospel. Okay? And they can only believe the gospel when they hear the gospel from us. Don't forget how we started. All right, we said this gospel, we had the gospel of our salvation, we had it and we believed in the gospel. Hallelujah. Now we're going to be answering more questions looking at this subject of salvation. All right, in subsequent time, it's going to be a very interesting one, but I just want us to see and have an appreciation or maybe sort of introduction to the topic that we're looking at, you know, in this series about the gospel of our salvation, the Savior. Is salvation and be saved. Now, just as we wrap up, You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, let's read it. Let's go back there. Sorry. Let's go there. I just want to touch on something that is very important. We're going to build on this from next week. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. See what it says. It says, but grow in grace, that is, that word and, it is not talking about two things, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or sorry, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what he's saying that, he's saying we should grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, to grow in the knowledge of Christ is what we call spiritual development. As we grow, what makes for spiritual development, or maybe what makes for spiritual growth, is our appreciation of God, our Savior. That's the point I want to pass across as we close today. When we say, oh, brother B or sister A, he's grown up spiritually. All right. What we are referring to is that that brother A, he or she, he's growing up in the knowledge of God, our Savior. So he's understanding salvation better. He's understanding his Savior better. He's understanding him or her or she being a saved person better. All right. So what we call spiritual growth, all right, or spiritual maturity, is actually an advancement, a growth in the topic of salvation, particularly understanding God as the God of our salvation.